This is a prayer treatment by the Mary Baker Eddy Institute, website mbeinstitute.org. This is an extemporaneous prayer treatment, so what ends up being in the content versus the title is anyone's guess. The procedure that is followed is when a thought comes either within the Institute or an outside request, we begin it with the thought of that being the key focus. But sometimes it doesn't stay right on target because there may be many related things. The title to this prayer treatment is 1-7, Heaven, Guaranteed Way to Know in Advance. The 1-7 refers to the definition of God by Mary Baker Eddy on page 465 of the textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, and also relates to the Genesis 1 reference to the 7 days of creation. There are several things that line up in that same order, and that will be pointed out in a moment. But let's look at the first introductory quotes, 3 of them, to the textbook itself. If you are a listener for the first time, this is to advise that Mary Baker Eddy was the discoverer, founder, and leader of Christian Science. She discovered it in 1866 as she was being revived by quotations from the Bible that revived her from what had been prognosed as a fatal fall on the ice. And she published the first edition of Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures in 1875, 9 years after she discovered the science of the healings of Jesus. The 3 quotes at the beginning of the textbook are as follows. 1. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's from Jesus. The 2nd one. There is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. Shakespeare. And the 3rd one. Oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. This is thy high behest. Thou hear and everywhere, by Mary Baker Eddy. When she says, thou hast heard my prayer, she may very well be referring to the Bible quotation that says that we should pray without ceasing. And it's obvious that if we're going to pray without ceasing, it means we need to be living our prayer. So she is saying, I believe, that she was living her prayer, and it was probably to get a better understanding of God and man and the relationship between God and man, which is really the image and likeness of God as explained in Genesis 1. This is not a sinning mortal man. This isn't a visible man. This is a term for man being a symbol that is in visible form, but the real underlying core, the real origin of man, is God. And it states that in the first chapter of Genesis, verse 27. It says, and so God made man in his image and after his likeness. If you never noticed that in the Bible, that is a good place to go to begin to refute the idea that we are born a sinner. That idea is a false one, and it came from Genesis chapter 2, but after it states that there went up a mist. A mist. How clearly can one see when there is a mist? M-I-S-T. Not clearly at all. Maybe if we're a fish, we are designed in human form to be a land creature. So no matter what our topic is, according to those 3 quotes, we want to always be searching for the truth. We want to realize that whatever we put into our thoughts is going to be projected as part of our life experience. And we're going to realize that if we abide by the laws of God, which are the laws of the universe, and if we let that be our guide in our every thought, speech, and action, then we are going to be blessed. Blessings are not obvious many times. One example is we may be working on a project that we feel is very important, and we're having trouble making progress. It's like we're stopped in our tracks. Nothing seems to be happening that should be happening with the result of all the effort that we're putting forth in the direction that was planned, which we're convinced after review and review again that we are on the proper path for bringing this project to fruition. But we're just stalled. When Mary Baker Eddy was in the process of writing the textbook and then had what she thought was a final proof, she delivered it to the publisher and expected it to be published promptly. But nothing happened. She waited and waited and waited. No communication, nothing happening. It occurred to her that she did not have anything that specifically covered animal magnetism. And she said, that must be the reason it hasn't been published. So she put her thoughts together, waiting on God for direction, and added a 7-page chapter entitled Animal Magnetism. As soon as she got that finished, she was convinced that this is it. This is the final, the reason that it wasn't published. So she took her transcript with her and took the train heading toward the publisher. They met at one of the train stations where you had to change trains. He was coming to deliver a printing of the book. She gave him the chapter. He went back and inserted it and then published it. It's a good idea for us to do a serious examination of the project, the procedure, the plan, the entire blueprint, and do a self-examination of how we're thinking about everything. Are we staying in the spiritual dimension? Evil works in a very deceitful way, with all kinds of decoys, deception, you name it. It tries to mock truth such that it's easily to think that what we are on is the right path, when in fact it may not be. Bicknell Young had a clear understanding of Christian Science, and he had wonderful healings, and he had a reputation for being at the top. He was out with some Christian Science friends at the beach, and he was deemed to have drowned. They were mourning him. He was watching from outside the body at what was going on. And he said, is there more work for me to do? Should I go back or should I go forward? He decided there was more work that he should do. And he awakened himself, and they considered him as being raised from the dead, for he had apparently been pronounced dead. The diversion is about what do we need to know about what we're doing when we're involved in a project. Bicknell Young made the comment that he had a number of people that came to him for help in solving problems in their business. And in doing some probing questions, he discovered that many of these people didn't know how to run their own business. He had to tell them directly, "You have to first of all learn how to run business before you come to me with problems that you want to solve. We have to know what we're doing, no matter what it is. It's not so much what we do, but it's what we know about it from a human level, and have we taken it to the maximum?" Mary Baker Eddy said that Jesus was able to demonstrate divinity because he had maximized his understanding about humanity. We have to know what we're doing. We have to live our prayer. Then we're ready to begin. We cannot depend on a human activity to be our salvation. That's only one step to be able to know and excel in everything we do. Mary Baker Eddy stated that human reasoning is the greatest faculty that mankind possesses, because it should be utilized to reason itself out of a material sense of matter being real, of mortal mind being the source of mind, the source of intelligence or wisdom or knowing, power, faculty, facility, creativeness. None of it comes from a so-called mortal mind, because God is the only mind there is. Here's the definition of God from page 465. That's the recapitulation chapter, and this is the very first topic in that chapter, which is designed as 24 questions and answers. And it's a summary of chapters 1 to 13. Hence, it's titled Recapitulation. And also, she quotes Isaiah as the introductory quote to this chapter. And it says, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Thus pointing out the value of compound concord. Learn a little bit each day. Stay on that path of infinite progression, striving for concrete being. The definition is as follows, and it's from page 465. God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. That's it. Very short. She gives us four adjectives: incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite, all four of which apply to all seven of the terms for God. It is suggested that you consider memorizing those three short quotes as an introduction to science and health, and the introductory quote to chapter 14 from Isaiah, and then each of the definitions for God, and there's one of them on this just recited, 465, another one in the glossary, which is chapter 17. That's part of the Key to the Scriptures, which is the second part of the textbook. The first one being Science and Health, the first 14 chapters. And then chapters 15 through 18 are in the Key to the Scriptures, which begins on page 500, going through the end, the last page being 700. In the glossary, on page 587, she defines God this way. God is the great I Am, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving, eternal, principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, love, all-substance, intelligence. A companion definition on the same page under the title of good, G-O-O-D, is defined thus: God, Spirit, Omnipotence, Omniscience, Omnipresence, Omniaction. She defines man on page 591 as the compound idea of infinite spirit, the spiritual image and likeness of God, the full expression of mind. Genesis defines man in chapter 1 of Genesis, verses 26 and 27, as follows: Let us make man after our image and after our likeness. So God made man in his image and after his likeness. Mary Baker Eddy defines the first verse where it says, And let us make man after God's image and likeness. She defines the us as being life, truth, and love. In other words, as we reflect the qualities of God, then we are able to be in full reflection of God. For that's exactly what God is, spiritual qualities. And reflecting the spiritual qualities is reflecting God. And we can't be separate from God, because God includes his manifestation. A painter can't be a painter if he is not manifesting his skill. And thereby that skill reflects his talent. So he is unequivocally connected with the product. The source and the manifestation are one. God and man are one. But we have to do our part. One of the most common paintings of Jesus is him standing at a door, knocking on the door. My parents taught us children that that meant he was knocking on our door of thought. Are we going to open it up and listen? Because Mary Baker Eddy describes him as the best man that ever trod the globe. How can we get better than that? For emulating a fine example of God's qualities. If we live the definitions that were just quoted, does that seem very likely to have an very fine impact on all thought, speech, and action? I think so. It's very difficult, if not impossible, to come up with a better way to keep our thought focused on the truth, as Jesus tells us that we should do. Know the truth, and ye shall be free. Know the truth. If you've taken any advanced classes, you will find that it's common for the instructor to repeat what he says, and probably in a little different way, but to repeat it a couple of times. The first time I recognized that that was what was being done, I went up and asked the instructor at a break that it was obvious that he was telling us the same thing three times. And what was the purpose in doing that? He was very open about it. He said, if I tell you once, you'll probably forget it very quickly. If I tell you twice, you'll remember a little longer. And if I tell you three times, it will be remembered much longer. He said, but do you want to know how you can remember it forever? I was game. I asked him, sure, of course. He said, live it. You have to live it. In other words, pray without ceasing. You can't do it once. You can't do it once a week. It needs to dwell in your thought. And you need to practice it. Professional pianists practice the Hanan exercises, and I would guess probably on a daily basis, and maybe 2 or 3 hours. This is in addition to practicing whatever songs that they're utilizing in a performance that's upcoming. Whatever one embarks on, it should be with the goal of doing it perfectly. And perfection is only available as a product of practice. As a short summary regarding each of the 7 synonymous terms, mind is anything to do with mental activity. Spirit is substance. And of course, it is spiritual, not material. Soul is identity. It refers to our 5 senses of sight, hearing, feeling, smell, and taste. Principle is structure, and it always has to be in balance and harmonious. It works closely with mind, for mind being mental, mind is what formulates a system that goes with principle. Number 5 is life. That represents fatherhood, things such as strength and courage. 6 is truth. That represents sonship. Father like son. Truth should be following life. But that is only if we are living the life of expression of the qualities of God. Truth enables us to keep on track, stay on the path, so that we have no interruptions to our infinite progression, seeking concrete being. Anything to do with love is fulfillment. It is nurturing, as a mother nurtures. Mary Baker Eddy states that if God were going to be a gender, the female gender is probably the best one that would describe God, because God is completeness, wholeness. One of the predominant qualities of love is nurturing, and that's exactly what a mother does. Mothering is nurturing. Giving assistance where it is needed at the level of where it is needed. The most important thing to begin a process of healing is to recognize that there must be a better way than what you have depended on your whole life. That opens the door for the brain to be recognizing something different. And it has to be by a slow process, step by step, as quoted from Isaiah, the introductory quote to chapter 14. The more senses we use on a continuous basis, the more accurate identification we will have on whatever the topic is. It could be meeting a new friend or a new associate in business. Anyone. When there's 2 humans involved and it's a new relationship, the most important thing is to utilize the 5 spiritual senses. I met someone new recently as a result of them inquiring with us about the website. I had probably a 20-minute telephone call with them. And when we were finished, they said, "Thank you so much. I really enjoyed this conversation." and I'm thinking to myself, I probably said 10 words. They spoke the entire time. When people are wanting to talk, you need to listen. We all need to listen more. We don't learn by talking. We learn by listening and by doing. Einstein was asked that if he was presented with a problem and the correct solution would bring about a tremendous saving of lives of the world population, and he had 1 hour to solve the problem, how would he use that 60 minutes? And he said he would use 55 minutes determining the right question to ask, and the other 5 minutes to solve the problem. Determining the right question to ask. Ben Franklin was known for his wisdom, and when he needed to make an important decision, he would draw a horizontal line at the top of a piece of paper and a vertical line down the middle. And if he said yes, he was going to do a certain thing, he would list everything on the left side that would be an advantage of doing it. And he would list everything on the right side that would be a disadvantage. And you can embellish this by giving things different weight. You know, one thing may be more valuable than another in coming to your conclusion. But the idea is that you need to be able to compare everything you know about the topic that affects what your decision needs to know about. And you need to have it clearly defined, and you need to have it written down. It needs to be structured so you can easily compare. At the beginning of this prayer treatment, I mentioned that many things were in alignment with the first record of creation, which was in Genesis chapter 1. And let me give you those right now. The 7 synonymous terms are in the order of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. The 7 days of creation in Genesis chapter 1 are in that same order. Day 1 is about mind. Day 2 is about spirit, and so forth. And when you get down to day 6, that was when man was created and man was given dominion. And day 7, it states that everything that God made is very good, and he rested on the 7th day. God rests in action. It is not a passive resting. We can never be passive if we want to be making progress. So the first step, as mentioned, is that we need to recognize that there's something better than the way we are experiencing life. So we open the door to new ideas. The second thing is, we have to look at the people that were really successful in healing. Jesus, Mary Baker Eddy, and 3 that we sponsor on our websites as special authors, which devoted 15 minutes apiece to patients that came to see them for healing. And all 3 of them, within 15 minutes, completed the healing with the patient on that particular topic. Those 3 are Frederick L. Rawson, Wentworth Winslow, and Joel Goldsmith. We have their writings, which are very valuable, and highly recommend them. But with all things that we learn, we have to make it our own. So our procedure in learning how to heal is laid out in individual steps. And the first step is that we look at the original text and read it. Look at it. Contemplate what it means. And then record it. Look at it again. What does it mean to you in your own words? And record that. Next is that you listen to the original text and you listen to the text that you wrote, which were your thoughts about what it meant to you. So it's a process of reading, contemplating, recording, and listening. Most people don't want to record. They say, well, I don't want to hear my own voice. It's up to you. But the results from doing this is a multiple of what it is from other methods. Unless you are one of those talented ones that has a photographic memory. And then you could revise this plan to meet your need. Learning how to heal is not an isolated activity. We need to make sure that we know about time management, about goal management, about anything to do with organizing our life so that our life is structured, and we need to monitor the progress on anything that we're involved in. Bernie Kerik was the police commissioner of New York City, and along with Rudy Giuliani, who was the mayor, they took over New York City when it was the worst one in the U.S., the biggest crime rate, the most ugly things that were going on, the morality sunk to a new low. And between the two of them, they cleaned up the city. That was no easy task. And Bernie Kerik, the police commissioner, had thousands. I think it was 20 or 30,000 policemen that were just doing New York City. One of the famous quotes from Bernie was that if it's not written down, it does not get done. He gave a structured system to everyone that was underneath of him. And it was a layered management level with goals and a reporting system to monitor. And it was controlled from bottom to top. Failure in anything can be due to a number of things, but more often than not, it is because there is no plan and there's no monitoring system, and therefore everything is a haphazard procedure or lack of procedure. We don't want to fall in that trap. If anything is worthwhile doing, then it's worthwhile doing correctly. Mind is omni-intelligence. We can fall back on that being a wonderful source for every decision, every thought, speech, and action. It should be continuous for us as well as everyone else involved in a common project. It was noted that principle is represented by the qualities of balance and harmony. And also structure. If we think about love, it is really living a life of giving, not taking. I saw a quote recently where it said you can take everything you want to with you when you pass on, as long as you had given it away. But everything you've taken, you have to leave behind. So what kind of things do you think would be involved in taking? visible or invisible. And consider the same thing in the other question. What is giving? Are they invisible or visible? The objects, are they visible or invisible? Invisible or visible? The bottom line is you cannot take things forward with you because they're not permanent. If they're visible, you can take the qualities with you if they're spiritual qualities, because they are infinite in quantity. They're infinite in their lasting characteristic. They never wear out. They're like a digital file versus a piece of paper that has words written on it. Cultivate a life of building up an inventory of what you can take with you. That means listing every time you give something away. So your inventory is your list of what you've given away, not a stockpile of money or houses or boats or cars or airplanes. Nothing to do with anything that is visible. You want to build up an inventory of things that are invisible. Ideas, qualities that reflect God, that you have shared with others. What is the golden rule? Does that have anything to do with visible objects? Now, there could be visible objects that represent symbols. If there's someone in need and you help them by giving them a hand up, showing them how to do things, showing them how to solve their problem. And yes, there could be money involved where you help by giving them money, but it's better to give them what the money would buy than give them the money. Because if they're out of money, it's a good chance that they don't know how to manage their money. And if they don't know how to manage their money, giving them money is probably not the right solution. Maybe you can give them a job. I know of a fellow that came out of a department store, and somebody walked up to him and asked him for money. The guy looked decent. He was dressed in work clothes like he's ready to go to work. Come to find out, the guy had been fired or let go for one reason or another 2 days before that, and the guy didn't have any money. He didn't have any money when he all of a sudden lost his source of income. Now, that's not wisdom. The Bible says we should tithe. We should tithe to ourselves as well as tithing to giving to others. And tithing means a tenth part, but if we're making $1 million a month, we probably don't need to keep 90% of that, 900,000. We probably could live on less than 900,000 a month. I know of one individual that gives away everything they don't need. It's a household name. You would know who it is. He makes millions of dollars. He's a writer. And he does documentaries. He makes millions of dollars every time he puts out a book. And he can't wait to give it away. Because he says every time he has a big checking account or savings account or whatever, he said he has trouble. Because people want to get it. He has to defend it. He has to spend his mental time in trying to keep it from being stolen or cheated. He can't wait to get rid of it. He enjoys writing the books, doing the research, to come forth with a wonderful documentary on a very interesting topic, but he doesn't enjoy anything after the book is done, such as being paid. He immediately tries to develop another topic that he wants to research and document. His joy comes from doing the work, not from being paid for it, not from indulging in an affluent life. He lives in a modest home in the northeast of the U.S. He doesn't give away money. He gives away what the money will buy. Maybe a new building on a university campus. People that are wise don't give away money, because they know the only way they can be assured the money is going to be utilized in a productive manner is to be involved and make it happen. Give away what the money is going to do. Carnegie Hall was named after Andrew Carnegie. Where possible, it's much better to be anonymous. He could have been anonymous. They could have called it New York Concert Hall. Same thing with the owners of the LA Times. It's named after the wife. They have beautiful events there, but the name is on there. They want everyone to know who paid for it. We really paid for it. Every time we buy one of their newspapers. Well, I don't live in the area, but in other words, everyone that participates in the business pays for what they do with the money. But they want credit. Andrew Carnegie wanted credit. He built buildings in various universities in Ireland and in the U.S., libraries, and so forth. And he did a wonderful thing in doing that. But one step further would have been to forget the ego, forget the credit, and build it on in a way that it could be done anonymously, which it can be done. It's not as easy as being public, but it's more Christian. It's more spiritual to get yourself out of the way. UNICEF is a United Nations charity for children. It's a fraud. It's a big money laundering process. The wealthiest man in the world, who joined with President Trump to form DOGE, Department of Government Efficiency, the president renamed it Demolition of Government Efficiency. In other words, the Demolition Office to provide government efficiency by demolishing the agencies and functions and all of these things that are a bunch of nonsense, like teaching kangaroos how to jump. I mean, that's an example that I just made up, but the point is, so much of it goes to something that has no value for the purpose of covering up the real flow of the capital, which is right back to the politicians and the unelected people that are involved. So you have to cultivate a life of giving if you want to heal. And why? Because that gets your thought off of me, me, me. And when you're thinking about me, 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 you're thinking about your ailment, your ailment, your ailment. And when you think about your ailment, you cannot heal it. Anytime you think about yourself and you're trying to heal, guaranteed you're going to think about the problem instead of the solution. You want the solution. You don't want the problem. You don't want the problem to be your focus, but you're making it your focus automatically if you don't get yourself out of the way. Mr. Winslow, Wentworth Winslow, said, think of yourself as being in a room. On one side of the room is a radio. It's tuned in to station KOG, Kingdom of God, and all it's doing is announcing the qualities of God, the qualities of heaven, the qualities of man as he is in heaven, being the image and likeness of God. Everything is balanced and harmonious. No conflict between any two people whatsoever. How many are doing that? How many are really letting their mind focus on something besides themselves? Anything besides ourself is an improvement in what society is indulging in with their thought today. What are we going to do with our thought? What are we going to do with our actions and our speech? Jesus said, if you're thinking it, it's the same as doing it. How many things do you have in your closet that you are ashamed of, which are things that you thought about, but you didn't do it? An enticement of any kind whatsoever. Any kind. You didn't do it, but you thought about it, and it sure was an attraction for you. Is principle full of chaos? If we get rid of chaos, what's going to be left? Harmony. Harmony is going to be left. Because without conflict, everything is harmonious. Bruce Lee was one of the most intelligent people on planet Earth. We have many videos. Some of them are like a slideshow. They're supposed to be all true, and it's now coming out 50 years after the fact, or more, 60 years, that he was murdered. Why? He never hurt anyone. I don't believe he really even hit physically anyone. He specialized in eliminating conflict in martial arts. Eliminating it. He trained himself so well that he could do most of his acts where it was so fast that no one could see it. He would be in one spot, then he would instantly be in another, and you couldn't see the movement. He would just be where he was and where he was going to be. You could see him after he stopped the movement. Cameras had a very difficult time. They would have to put it on extremely slow motion and play it several times to see exactly what he did and how he did it. His expertise was in not being there where you expected him to be, and therefore there was no contact. There was no conflict. Joe Louis, one of the most famous boxers of all time, watched Bruce Lee train one day, and he said, you don't fight. You disappear. How about that? Think about the punch, instead of coming from a fist, from a very strong boxer, think of it as being evil. In fact, you could think of it as being the devil. And when you moved out of the way, you depersonalized it so it was only the evil that was left. No person was involved. Think of the D as being depersonalized or dimension. You aren't giving any dimension to evil. You're not giving any home. You're not giving any mouth. You're not going to give any feet. You're not going to walk toward it. You're not even going to let it use your shoes. You're not going to let it get into your consciousness. You're not going to let it get into your home. Mary Bickerati says we should bar our door of thought as we would bar our door in our house against thieves and murderers. What is evil? Evil tries to murder truth. It tries to deceive. It builds decoys. It tries to mock truth. It tries to act like it is truth. And we're tricked all the time. Every time we think about someone that did something bad, we have been tricked by evil. We have been tricked. We have given it a presence. We have given it a residence. We have given it our thought, our speech, if we repeat it, and our actions, if we let it. How about when you're driving? Someone cuts in front of you. Are you acting, responding with thought, speech, or action? Most people do. Most people let evil control them. They let evil change the way they think, talk, and act by reacting to it, instead of recognizing it for something that has absolutely no power, and you're not going to give it any residence so that it can have power. The only power that anything has, if one gives it to it in their own thought, in our own thought, if we give it recognition, we're giving it power. We're letting it steal our time, our attention, our motives. If evil gets a foot in the door, you got a problem. I've given this example just in the last 24 hours in another prayer treatment about an egg. Suppose you've got a kitchen that has white tile floors. Beautiful, big tile. Maybe a meter square or a half a meter square. And you drop it by mistake on the floor. It's no fun cleaning it up, but try dropping it on a rough surface. How about a carpet? How about a short carpet? How about a long carpet? There's no kind of carpet that is fun to clean up an egg. Say you drop two of them. There's nothing fun about it. We have control of our life only if we take control of it. Mind is the controller, but are we letting it be our controller? Think of a grid that has columns and rows. And suppose you put the seven synonymous terms on the top row, going all the way across from left to right, in the same order that it was dictated to you, as mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. And then go down the left side of the first column and have mind at the top. It can be in the same cell in your grid, in your matrix. And go down with the second one being spirit, third one being soul, and so forth. In the same order. We have all these things on the website. It's easy to see all these definitions and the seven synonymous terms. Now, I didn't give you the rest of the things to compare it to, but the seven synonymous terms, Genesis 1, which is the record of spiritual creation, the Ten Commandments, and they have to be condensed down to the seven key points, and they fit right in with the 7 days of creation and the seven synonymous terms. And the Beatitudes, which are part of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, the Lord's Prayer, they all fit together in seven key points that line up exactly with the definition of God on page 465. All of those things, they are in the same order. That's got to tell you something. That's got to tell you that the genius involved in the definition of God that Mary Baker Eddy discovered is supported by all of those different things in the Bible. Right to a T. All of them. Let's get back to the matrix. It was mentioned that intelligence is connected with mind. Anything to do with mental is mind. And love is nurturing. How can you think of the intelligence of mind being involved with the nurturing of love? And how about soul, which is identification, seeing, hearing, feeling, smell, and taste? If you use all five senses, you're going to have the correct answer to any question you have about anything. You just have to make sure you're using the spiritual lens that you're looking through, and not a lens of matter. I read it a couple of days ago, I saw it again today, that there was a biochemist. Anyway, he invented a telescope, or a microscope, excuse me, that could identify virus elements, the elements of a virus. And then he was able to do sound analysis and realize they operated at a certain frequency. Cancer is a virus. He proved he could cure cancer through inputting a vibration or creating an atmosphere of vibration around anything that had cancer. He was murdered, just like Bruce Lee. Bruce Lee was light years above everyone else in the martial arts field. Nobody could touch him. They couldn't lay a hand on him. He perfected his disappearance movements so they would happen and they couldn't be seen. You'd have to look at him on a camera and slow it down to see how he got from one spot to another, because it was so fast it could not be seen by the human eye. The entire industry, health industry, is a fraud. They create the disease, and then they create what they sell as a solution to it, which is not a solution at all. It's a fraud. It's now public information. That's some of the things that are being disclosed and exposed right now. It's clear that the president is going to have a very large 4th of July celebration. And he has indicated that he's going to release some very valuable information to the public, if not before, because apparently they're going to take over the media completely and announce it through cell phones, the EBS system. And they're going to have like 24-hour-a-day programming. So on your cell phone, you'll be getting all this information. All of the people that they've found guilty of their crimes of treason, That includes big corporations, politicians, Hollywood stars, Hollywood producers. Disney's at the top of the list of fraud. Terrible what they've done. Anyway, it's all coming up, and tremendous amounts going to be exposed as it is disclosed and as it's declassified over the next 2 months between now and July 4th. And it'll go on for a long time, only because there are so many people involved. They claim 92 out of 100 senators are involved in the fraud. 92. Only 8 of them have a clean record. It's very important that we put our filter on so that we focus on the evil and the exposing and the destruction of it, and not personalities. Because personalities are not anything, because they can be replaced. It's the evil we have to expose. And the more expert we are at removing the personality, the cleaner we will keep our own consciousness. And a clean consciousness is right at the top of the list on how to heal. Once you see something, you cannot unsee it without a tremendous effort. So the best thing is to not see evil as real ever. Don't think about it. Don't talk about it. Don't gossip about it, which of course is talking. Although I guess it could be in several forms. It could be in a voicemail, email, text message, you name it. And remember how valuable it is to use all the senses. I gave you a clue on some of the steps. Our home page is filled with the whole procedure. It's called effective healing. We give you the complete itemized procedure. Richard Strain was working 18 hours a day. He was going around in circles. He didn't feel he was making any progress, and he was exhausted. He went to a practitioner. He basically said the same thing I said. She had one question. When do you study? There wasn't any time for him to study. He was gone from his home 18 hours a day, working and transportation. Travel time. He was only home 6 hours. He would need to eat dinner, shower, sleep some, get up, eat breakfast, and be out the door. Probably only had time for 3.5-4 hours sleep. And that's not giving any attention to his family, if he's married or has children or both. He finally told her, he says, I don't study at all. I have no time. She said, if you don't study 5 hours a day, you're not going to get out of your problem. She didn't think about what his schedule was. She thought about what the truth was about what one has to do to make a major transformation of their life. Most people waste 5 hours a day. It's common to spend 2, 3, 4 hours a day on social media. How about the time you are in travel, to and from work if you go to work, or to and from any event? How about waiting in line at the grocery store? When you're at the grocery store, do you look around and see if there's anyone that you can help? Be creative, without infringing on someone's right to privacy and whatever. We can help people all the time. There are numerous opportunities. Are we going to do it? If we don't live a life of giving, we will never be able to heal. Because healing is getting yourself out of the way and focusing on the qualities of God. Let's get back to that room that Wentworth Winslow said that has a radio on one side. And what do you think is on the other side of the room? A telephone. A telephone. It's a symbol of mortal mind. It was ringing its head off all the time, whereas the radio was just quietly announcing all of the qualities of God. If you pick up that phone, you're letting the foot in the door for evil. You're inviting them in. Come on in. The water's fine. But it's not. It's not fine at all. What do we have to do to get to heaven? Remember the picture of Jesus knocking at the door? He's knocking on the door of heaven. He's knocking on the door of consciousness. Where do you think heaven is? Is it a physical location? Or is it omnipresent? Are we alert to it? Are we aware of where it is and how to get there? Do we know what we have to do? Do we know what we have to change in our present level of thinking and speech and action in order to get there? Mary Baker Eddy said she has never met a single person that can transform from where they are to a perfectly heavenly attitude about life on a continuous basis without interruption, without a lot of work. Why is that? Because the brain operates on repetition. It has become accustomed to the universal belief of Adam and Eve being our DNA. That we make mistakes and we sin and we suffer from disease and sickness and eventually die, pass on, go around the corner. Because we're inundated all the time. Take a look at the next time you see a group of people. It can be on a video. It could be a news cast with visitors. It could be walking down the street. It could be in a photograph of several people. What are you going to see that's commonly in all of those circumstances? This is one of the most subtle and evil ways to transmit evil. What do you see? I know what I see because I know what to look for. And I'm hoping that I will be able to see reality coming closer and closer. You're going to see almost everybody with eyes wearing glasses of all ages. Of all ages. Even the ones that don't have any power in the lenses are wearing something with clear glass. Because there's such a powerful lobby for optometrists that they want everyone to believe that everyone needs to wear glasses. And so they educate the brain to see people with glasses all the time. Beautiful people. Movie stars. Beauty queens, you name it. What do they do when they want to sell you some kind of a medicine for a cough? Don't they show you somebody coughing and looking terrible and looks like they're having a terrible time? All of this stuff should be illegal. There should be no allowance of subliminal advertising. This is subliminal advertising. You don't even realize that you're being tricked. But pay attention. Pay attention. What do you think about the music? If you're like me, you'll say, what music? They don't produce music anymore. They produce noise, discord. The masters are all gone. The great classics are a thing of the past. The music today is an example of the destruction of the fabric of society. And how about the movies? How often can you watch a movie that there's not immorality in it? Sensuality to the extreme. You can go to YouTube and you just look on the right sidebar where they have the advertisement of all the other things, news channels and movies and whatever. They show people that are not even covering up what a discreet woman would never show in public. Well, this is the thing of the past now, because everything is open. I mean, everything is, you know, there's no standard. It could be a Western, and they're going to have a picture of a woman that is half naked. I can't believe how much of it they show. How about the language? How about the language? They were displaying the worst rotten language at big football games where there's 100,000 people there watching it. They had billboards and they had it up on the big screens. The worst language that you can imagine. It's ridiculous. They get you from all sides, they being evil. They get you with the written material, you see, the music, the verbiage that is used in movies, the sensuality in movies, books, all print, whether it's a book, magazine, or whatever, everything. We are a Sodom and Gomorrah situation. Sodom and Gomorrah, that's where we are. We have to take a stand. We have on our website a quote from Edmund Burke, B-U-R-K-E. It's over 200 years, I think. I think it was back in the 1700s. It said, evil triumphs when good men do nothing. In other words, they're passive. Oh no, I don't want to get involved. That kind of an attitude. If people don't come forth and get rid of their fear and their timidity and their cowardice and show some courage and fortitude, then they're going to get exactly what they are acting out. Destruction. Death and destruction. Evil manifested. It's a choice, and the choice is right here and right now. Our president can't do it alone. If the population doesn't support cleaning up the corruption, it's not going to last. We have to be so disgusted with where we are in the morality of America and all the other nations, so disgusted with it, that we will do anything to clean it up. And that's what we have to do. Whatever is required. We have huge number of examples with videos, text, MP3s, you name it, to show you the evil that we have exposed over the last several years. And Bruce Lee, we've got a lot of material in there about Bruce Lee, because he's the one person that is in what is considered probably the most dangerous personal combat that exists, and he shows you how to eliminate the conflict. Like Joe Lewis said about him, you don't fight, you disappear. Are we disappearing when evil attacks us instead of attacking back? Do we recognize it for something that has no power on its own, and we're not going to give it any of ours? Mary Baker Eddy says the only power we have is the good we do and embody. Are we going to instead do good and embody it and get the power that goes with it? Are we going to do the reverse and let evil control us and let it get its whole body in the door? Not just a foot. Just come on in. The house is yours. If you have children, do you let them go to public schools where they are teaching the worst garbage in the world? Fortunately, today, if parents are on the ball and they have children, you can homeschool them and cut out all the bad stuff. They have videos with qualified teachers teaching everything, every grade. It's already done. You don't have to go searching for textbooks or searching for a teaching curriculum. It's already done. You're just not in a classroom where you don't know what's going on. You are in your home where your parents can see what's going on. And that's what we need. That's what we need. That's what we have to insist on. Why should we have buildings that are going to waste where they control your children? They instruct them to have their sex changed. I mean, this is totally criminal. And the parents can be put in jail if they object. It's all changing now. But there has to be a lot of changes made before they get rid of it everywhere. It's all over the world. This woke philosophy is a sleep philosophy, hypnotized philosophy. It's not woke. It's not awake. It is hypnotism, mesmerism. It's the worst animal trait there could ever be. Getting rid of the police, burning down the buildings. Letting anyone that wants in come in, and we put them on our welfare and give them a debit card and let them live in a luxury hotel. It's been happening all over America. They're living in first-class hotels at our expense. Our tax dollars are paying for it. Fortunately, Trump is shutting down the Internal Revenue Service, the IRS. In fact, there's only like 60 or 70 days left for him to finish it, because the Supreme Court already ruled it was totally unconstitutional from the very day it started, which was 1913. All those years, it has been unconstitutional and illegal. And the Supreme Court has ruled on it. We have it on our website. We have the complete details about it. Complete details. As of the May 5th, there were like 90 days left. And of course, today is May 23rd. So that's, 18 days ago. So 18 off of 90. So we're talking 72 days. 72 days left from today. They're not going to make it by July 4th because 72 goes beyond July 4th. Although they can do it earlier. That's just the deadline, the absolute deadline that's been mandated by the Supreme Court. It has to be all dismantled. They're dismantling all of these corrupt agencies. They're putting in a whole new form of government. NASARA for the national and GESSARA for the global. It is wonderful. But we have to participate or it won't last. We have to support it. We have to cooperate. We have to be involved. Anyone that wears a mask again or takes a one of these vaccines, what can I tell you? They're totally ignorant. They're totally ignorant. They're not reading the facts. They're not watching the material that is out there that is available to see the truth. This group called Frontline Doctors, they tried to do it, and they were arrested, put in jail. Some of them disappeared. They were honest doctors that said that the pandemic was a fraud. The pandemic was for one purpose, and that was to kill the people. That was the object. It's now public information. Their goal, their being evil, is to reduce the worldwide population by 94%. So you would only end up with, you know, 500 million people out of the whole world instead of 8.3 billion. 500 million. We have to take the bull by the horn. Take the bull by the horns. Bulls have two horns. We have the instructions from beginning to end on the home page right now. If not, it'll be in the menu always. Effective healing and how to heal everything. Those are two different titles. We have people that call us and tell us that they start their day by going to the website. They begin their day. We work through the night so that the fresh inventory is up when most people are just getting out of bed. We work during the night hours, so you will have it at the beginning of the day. So, do you know how to guarantee yourself heaven? And to know in advance how to get there? We've told you in this prayer treatment, it's all mental. We're already given the opportunity to be the reflection of God, be the image and likeness of God. All we have to do is get self out of the way. Forget about any problem you have and focus on the solution. And the solution is what? Improving your understanding about what God is, what man is, what the relationship is between God and man, and what is the expression, the manifestation of God all about. It's all existence. Everything that exists is a manifestation of God. Everything. And if you're looking at something that's evil, then you have to flip it, because you're looking through the wrong lens. Jesus had to flip it when he saw the blind man. When he saw dead Lazarus. He couldn't think of Lazarus as being dead. He couldn't have raised him from the dead if he did. Did he see the sister of Lazarus, Mary Magdalene, as being a sinner when he came in the house of this man called Simon and washed the feet of Jesus? Did he call her a sinner? Wasn't his business. His business is how he sees everyone, not what their reputation is. That's our duty, is to see everyone as a spiritual image and likeness of God and get our thought off of the false mortal sense, which is like looking through the mist that it says in Genesis chapter 2. I think that's in verse 6. Because I know verse 3 is the last verse of the spiritual record, and the false record begins on verse 4 of chapter 2. And I think two verses later, 6, is where it says there went up a mist. As soon as that goes up, everything is not reliable. You can't see it clearly. We're going to close with a prayer by Mary Becchetti that she gave to her most advanced class, which was the last class she conducted in 1898 of the Metaphysical College. After that, she told her students to rely on her writings instead of personal instruction by her. She says, "You will find me in my writings." That's where the truth is. Truth is the synonym for God that heals, because it's the opposite of error. Truth is the positive, error is the false. And when you get rid of the error, then the healing is there. But we can't be thinking about that. We got to be thinking about improving our understanding. And the healing will automatically come. Think about Richard Strain. What happened after she said, if you don't study 5 hours a day, you're not going to work out of your problem? It's on our website. Go find out. Go find out what happened. He tells it. We've got his material on our website. It's easy for you to find. Everything is alphabetical in the author drop-down menu, which is the top left corner of every page, the menu. Just open it up. Just click on it. Go to the authors, which is, and everything is right there, easy to see. Click on it, and then click on S for Strain, and then pick out anything you want to indulge in. Okay, I shall now present to you the Diapason of Heaven, and she did 7 prayers, 1 for each of the 7 synonymous terms. And I'm going to do the one on soul, which is spiritual senses of seeing, hearing, feeling, smell, and taste. Because it's so important to identify everything correctly with our 5 spiritual, not material, spiritual senses. So here's the Diapason of Heaven by Mary Baker Eddy. Oh, by the way, if there's any additional thoughts, I will say them after I say amen to the prayer. Sometimes I have another couple of minutes of something that I thought of that I left out. And that's easy to do, especially when everything is extemporaneous. Okay, Diapason of Heaven by Mary Baker Eddy, focusing on soul, S-O-U-L, which is spiritual sense. We must hold soul in consciousness only as a sacred name for God. We have to rise above the belief that soul is an invisible personality residing in a fleshly form with a personal identity. Soul must be recognized as a name for God, and a name by which God is to be worshipped. We have to take the interpretation of soul as a personality out of subjective thought and replace it with the true sense. We should declare often, there is only one soul, and that is my infinite, incorporeal, supreme God. Soul is my God, and my God is soul. Amen. Yes, there is a couple of thoughts. One is that Mary Baker Eddy devoted time every single hour of the day to make sure that her thoughts about everyone and everything were spiritual, seeing them in their perfection and seeing any event in the perfection of God, resisting all temptation to strike back, because she was attacked constantly, as was Jesus. Same thing. He didn't argue with it. He didn't strike back. He just stuck to the truth, knowing the truth about man, which included himself. The other thing is, if you have any question about anything in this prayer treatment or anything that's on the website, and we've got the complete Bible there, we've got all of Mary Baker Eddy's writings, we've got over 400 prayer treatments, anything at all, feel free to contact us. You can get on the contact page by going to the menu and go to the bottom part of it, where it says contact, or in the footer, which is on every page, in the far left bottom corner, there's a head, looks like a man's head, and if you click on that, that goes to contact. This has been a prayer treatment by the Mary Baker Eddy Institute, website mbeinstitute.org, and the title has been 1-7, Heaven Guaranteed Way to Know in Advance. It is Saturday, May 23rd at 19:10, which is 7:10 p.m. And this is the end of this prayer treatment. Thank you for listening.